Pamela Anderson's memoir, Love, Pamela, shatters expectations with its raw vulnerability and surprising literary merit. Written entirely by Anderson herself, no ghostwriters, the book reveals a poetic voice behind the iconic blonde image. Far from the tabloid caricature, we discover a woman of intellectual curiosity and profound resilience. The New York Times noted its unexpected literary merit, while Oprah called it one of the most honest celebrity memoirs she'd ever read. Through unflinching self-examination, Anderson invites us into the complicated reality behind a persona that both liberated and imprisoned her. Her story challenges our assumptions about fame, sexuality, and the human capacity for growth, revealing that beneath the red swimsuit was always a woman of depth seeking authentic connection in a world determined to reduce her to an image. Born to teenage parents on Vancouver Island in 1967, Anderson's childhood blended magical moments with profound trauma. Her mother created enchantment from nothing, while her father brought both intellectual curiosity and frightening volatility. Young Pamela was a free-spirited tomboy, with her grandfather Herman serving as her spiritual anchor, teaching her that trees could talk and fairies existed. Beneath this surface lurked darkness. Anderson endured sexual abuse by a female babysitter and witnessed her father's drunken violence toward her mother, including drowning her beloved kittens. "I felt like I died that night too," she writes. The family's pattern of fleeing her father's violence, only to return when things calmed, taught her early lessons about toxic love's cyclical nature. Adolescence brought new vulnerabilities as Anderson's developing body attracted unwanted attention. A trip to the movies ended in sexual assault, and Anderson lost her virginity through rape, a trauma she kept secret. Meanwhile, she sought understanding through books, devouring psychology, philosophy, and poetry, an intellectual hunger largely invisible to those who would later reduce her to her appearance. At 17, Anderson tried rescuing her mother before moving to Vancouver to work at a fitness center. Her life changed when, attending a football game wearing a Labatt's half top, her image on the Jumbotron led to becoming the Blue Zone Girl. When Playboy called offering a test shoot, her controlling fiancé reacted violently. Anderson escaped to Los Angeles, a decision that would forever alter her trajectory. Anderson's relationship with Playboy embodies a central paradox of her life. While never seeing nudity as immoral, she acknowledges how it may have set me up for disrespect. Yet, it offered her a chance at a new life when she needed it most, helping her reclaim power after sexual trauma. Her first centerfold shoot unleashed what Hefner later called the DNA of Playboy. At the mansion, she found a blend of hedonism and sophistication, describing the primitive reverie of splashing nude in the grotto, a beautiful and sensual chaos that somehow remained innocent. Anderson remained vigilant about the industry's predatory elements, declining questionable offers and reporting incidents to Hefner, prioritizing women's safety. As Baywatch propelled her to fame, Anderson faced celebrities' disorienting reality. Fans swarmed her lifeguard tower, and in Uruguay, thousands of teenage boys nearly trampled her after destroying a stage. She maintained a protective mantra, "I am safe, I am protected," though she admits celebrity felt like a strange disease you couldn't wash off. Beyond her public image, Anderson pursued intellectual enrichment. She visited Pablo Neruda's home in Chile, learned about Pinochet's regime, and studied tango in Buenos Aires. "Everywhere I traveled, I sought museums, historical sites, and conversations with locals, creating a sanctuary from her objectified public persona." Anderson's relationship with Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee was her life's central love story, passionate, destructive, and transformative. Their connection was immediate. "Our lovemaking was always tender, delicious, never dark or weird." Tommy's possessiveness initially seemed like devotion, waiting in her trailer between Baywatch scenes and purposely messing up her makeup for more wife time. Anderson wore a pager on her bathing suit. 007 meant "call Tommy now." The stolen sex tape brought unprecedented invasion into their privacy. 7 months pregnant with Dylan, Anderson endured depositions where lawyers displayed blown-up naked photos, arguing she had no right to privacy because of her Playboy appearances. The stress nearly caused a miscarriage. The stolen footage made hundreds of millions for others while causing years of embarrassment for our entire family. Despite their deep connection, Tommy's jealousy turned violent. In one incident, he had a meltdown demanding, "What about me? I want my wife back," culminating in him throwing Dylan and Anderson into a wall before running out with Brandon, leading to his arrest and their divorce. The hardest, lowest point of my life. Years later, Anderson reflects that her relationship with Tommy was likely the only time I was truly in love, exemplifying her paradoxical romantic life, drawn to passionate, all-consuming love that ultimately proves unsustainable. After selling her Malibu home, Anderson returned to her roots on Vancouver Island. Her waterfront ranch became a sanctuary where she implemented sustainable practices. Water management systems, solar energy, clover fields, and rain-catching systems for self-sufficiency. Here, Anderson discovered peace in simple pleasures, tending her vegetable garden, perfecting her grandmother's bread recipes, and reading Colette in her weathered Adirondack chair. "I sit reading, finding true friendship only in books and nature, always searching for what nature is trying to teach me. Dragonflies circle me as symbols of hope, change, love, and maturity as I grow past self-created illusions." Her Broadway debut as Roxy Hart in Chicago became the perfect metaphor for personal transformation. Channeling her heartbreak, hurt, and trauma into the role, Anderson found unexpected liberation, the pain evaporating with the first standing ovation. Through 8 shows weekly, she conquered her dragons, doubts, and insecurities, earning respect on her own terms and proving her capabilities beyond stereotypes. The role symbolized her evolution from icon to artist, from survivor to thriver. "I don't want to spend this part of my life explaining myself to others. This is just one girl's life, my own fable, my truth. Acceptance is a better way forward." Anderson acknowledges the contradictions defining her existence, living in the blurry space between dreams and reality, where they intertwine in a wicked dance. After seeking external validation her whole life, she discovers true love comes from self-love and tender forgiveness. Labeled unmanageable for her unconventional choices, Anderson followed only her own path, remaining an easy target with weak defenses, preferring to stay fluid and free without boundaries. Her liberation came when she recognized she was her own worst critic and shed her paralyzing shyness. To young people painting their own lives, Anderson offers, "You're not crazy. You're brave like me. Independent thinking and disobedience are important, and you're going to be okay. I wish someone had told me that, and if they did, I wish I'd believed them." Through this journey, Anderson transforms from sex symbol to sage, offering wisdom about resilience, authenticity, and the courage to define yourself on your own terms.